The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm that sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Everybody's talking about him.
I had an idea, and this is not a thing we normally do, but I thought that with the big game coming up, we could offer a service to our listeners, and that is we will provide for them some things to toss into maybe a conversation at a big game watch party for people who have no idea what's going on and know nothing about football. So say like a loved one has dragged you along, or maybe like a brother has insisted that you come to the party and you're surrounded by football fans and you have no idea what to say, we'll give you some sentences to kind of like sprinkle into the conversation.
And I tell you one good one, and this is a good catch-all. Just like look at any player on the field and then say their name and then say like, I just disagree with the way that he carries himself off the field.
I like that.
Oh, that's and, good. Because like 80% of the time, you're probably on point.
Yes, or you're just echoing some controversy that probably doesn't exist. And when they ask you to clarify, just be like, you know, it's just, I like it when players just do it for the love of the game.
Nice.
It's another sort of one. Oh, that you can,
anytime anyone does anything, literally anything, just shake your head and say, too showy.
Yeah.
Too showy, I think.
I liked it better when they just did it for the love of the game.
You can also just say, oh, that was clearly defensive pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
Just literally every play, because it usually is most of the time.
Oh, if
you can also just say DPI.
If Cam fumbles, you can say more like
now,
Old
who is
Town.
That?
Cam Newton.
What is
he is the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
You could say more like Old Town and then high five a bunch of people.
Now,
except that he's actually pretty young and Peyton Manning is the old one.
Yeah, so that one's probably not going to get you many points with your
friends. Let me suggest one. When you first show up and everyone's making chit-chat before the game while they're eating their the canapes, you
the what now?
The canapes that are served pre-game. Why don't we just make pre-game
can of
chit-chat?
I don't know what the fucking words you're saying.
Canapes, they're, it doesn't, it's, I can't.
Tiny party food. Come on.
Thank you, Travis. When you're eating canape, and but in the pre-game ritual, loudly announce to anybody that'll listen. You know, every year, I only watch for the commercials. And then the first time someone gets a touchdown, say, that's a commercial.
Nice.
That's a good
creative
like
fiction
that.
Wherein this whole time you thought touchdowns were called commercials.
Ooh, yeah, that's
ooh, what if you created a fiction where you had like super, like your whole financial life was riding on like how many field goals were kicked in the entire game?
Well, okay, more field goals. Let's have them. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
as
whoa,
soon
whoa,
as
whoa,
the first field
whoa,
goal
the breaks.
Is- upon the completion of the first field goal, just barf right there. And people are like, what's wrong with you? And he said, I had 15K. There wouldn't be any field goals the whole game.
No.
I've never bet. This is my first bet in my whole life.
And I'll never see my kids after this.
And man came up to me and said, I bet there'll be some field goals. And you said, bullshit, 15,000 on the table.
I need to go sell my kidney.
I bet it's going to be 0-0 at the end of it for a Super Bowl tie.
I put 45,000 on 0-0.
Can you just have a quiver of things that you can shout whenever everybody else shouts? Because that's the real secret. You don't have to like lead the charge in talking about how good the sporting has been so far. But you do need to participate when other people get super psyched whenever like a good pass or run is done to completion. And so just like... Whenever you see everybody like stand up or be like, oh, just be like, slam a jam a ding dong.
Pass the hummus.
Well, no.
Well, that's great because it works on both levels. You get to participate in the yelling and also you get some of that hummus.
Yeah, pass that fucking hummus, Cam. And then You also get dip out of that.
You also get the hummus.
Yeah.
You could do what I do every Super Bowl, which is leave the room, re-enter every 15 minutes, and say, how you boys doing on snacks? And then leave
the room again. Can I freshen up anyone's drink?
Can I freshen up anybody's drinks? How you boys doing on snacks? Funyuns running a little low. Let me top those off. All right, boys. Have fun.
Those Enjoy are your fucking snacks?
What?
Those are your snacks? That doesn't seem like
those are my those are my canapés.
I still he don't understand what that
with
means.
With like a fried egg on top.
No, okay, I'll be honest. My go-to for that sort of vignette would have normally been pizza rolls, but they didn't pay to be on here, so I'm going to keep the name out
You got to pay to canapé.
Got to pay to canapé.
Sorry, T blank 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 apostrophe S. I think I put too many blanks in there. I think it was Totino.
I think it was not enough.
What is the halftime show?
I think it is Rihanna. No, it's... Wait, is it Rihanna or is it...
it's Rihanna with the Moody Blues.
No.
Is it Coldplay?
I think it's Rihanna and Coldplay and that guy that did Don't Believe Me, Just Watch. And then I think on top of
Bruno Mars?
The Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to come down and just gently lower their balls onto the halftime show just to ruin it a little bit.
Wow, it is a big one. It is Coldplay and Beyonce and Bruno Mars. You're right.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
It's Bruno Mars like just did it.
Yeah.
He like power lined it up all over the place.
We're reflecting on all the classic moments of Super Bowl halftime shows in the past.
I really get Prince. Prince is the best halftime show that's ever been.
I think you could...
Do you remember when he had a guitar boner?
Oh, God. It was the
Which
best
time? You can't guy. Just say that about Prince. Do you remember when he had a guitar boner? Are you talking about in like...
His guitar was a penis?
Okay. In 1985?
Do you remember when he didn't have a guitar boner?
Can we start with a decade in which that happened? Here's the thing. Go in and be absolutely 100% ignorant of sport and all rules of sport. And then as soon as Coldplay takes the stage, just start hammering Coldplay trivia and all the Coldplay just like you're like the performance lights come up, you turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you know Chris Martin's father is an accountant, and just wait pace it every 15 minutes, just try out like 15 seconds, like, hey, did you know their first song is called Ode to Deodorant and it was written as a joke?
Hey, can you guys name anybody else in Coldplay other than Chris Martin?
Steve Coldplay.
I don't think he's one of them.
He formed it like in Van Halen.
There's Doug Hotwork, which is weird.
I work hot so I can play cold.
You know, Chris Martin, while he was writing Yellow, noticed the phone book, the yellow pages, and decided that the word yellow fit nicely in his song. That's why it's there.
I thought.
Where are you going? Please, there's still so much more. Please sit back down.
Please sit back down. I have so many more facts.
I thought Doug Hotwork was the creative lead behind Yellow. Well, can we create a three-person just Coldplay slam band called Hot Work, and just like all of our songs are just like get it together Coldplay?
It's all songs about Coldplay.
Yeah, and how bad they stink because we're Hot Work, the evil Coldplay.
Oh, I see. We're the River Bottom Nightmare band.
Yeah, and we'll just like show up to all their shows and play smaller concerts in the crowd. Distract. Amp versus amp, Coldplay. Bring it on, Christopher Martin.
We're the misfits to their Gem of the Holograms.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a weird thing to call your cartoon band, because that's a thing.
Because that was like a real-ass band.
For real, yeah. So that's, let's talk about advice for people.
Yeah. Oh, that seems pretty good. I like to sleep in my blue jeans.
Stop.
Next question.
Well, you don't deserve to have this. Just read the fucking thing. I'm going to mute my Skype call for a while.
We have influence, and by putting these ideas that are about to be in this email out into the world, we may influence even a single person to adopt this monstrous behavior. I'm not sure I want that on my conscience.
Unless we just tear this person a new person.
We tear this person a new person.
Read the fucking question.
To become a different person.
I like to sleep in my blue jeans. My wife thinks I'm a total monster, but for me, there's... I'm not making this person sound defensive enough. Hold on, let me try again. I like to sleep in my blue jeans. My wife thinks I'm a total monster, but there's no greater comfort than the feeling of denim rubbing against my sheets.
There's a billion, billion, billion greater comforts. There's a million, millions of greater comforts.
There is a Sagan of greater comforts.
I work in a cube all day, so it's not like my jeans are dirty. Sometimes.
Why does the geometric shape in which you do your biz influence their smell and dirt level?
Sometimes I get a fresh pair from the closet to sleep in. My sleep jeans. Please vindicate or vilify me. And that's from Stylish Slumber in the South. I have news for this person. They have taken like cork and they dropped a brick on the gas pedal. They ramped over the ravine. They pressed the nitrous button and they ended up in fetish chasm.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is a fetish. You are not, you do not have a comfort. Like the comfort is not the issue when talking about jeans and sleep. You have a denim fetish. And that's cool.
That's fine.
Own it.
But you got to own it. You got to lean into it.
John Mellencamp had a denim fetish and he fucking turned it into a successful musical career.
He rebuilt America's economy with that denim fetish.
He did. He was the Hamilton of denim.
Is it okay? Question asker. There are sleep pants.
Yeah.
I'm worried that maybe you like didn't know and this is the first you're hearing about it. Like, there are really nice sleep pants from MeUndies. You can go to Target and get, like, $10 sleep pants. And I think maybe you've only ever slept in jeans. And if you put on even, like, the shittiest pair of sleep pants and you get in bed, you're going to be like, oh, my God. What do other people know about this?
I just, like, it's unthinkable. I can't get my jeans off me fast enough when the workday's done. And I work from home, so that's an entirely arbitrary distinction.
Jeans just bend in such weird ways, like at the knee and everywhere. Like they just don't, they're not a comfort pant. They're not, they're like the Chevy, old timey Chevy truck of pant. It's not like a sleek, like, look at me fly around these curves. It's like, I got to get a load of lumber to the mill. That's what jeans
denim
are.
Denim was invented so that like cows, when they bit you, it didn't hurt very bad, or like,
yeah, that used to be the tagline underneath like Levi's, so it doesn't hurt so bad when cows bite you.
Or like, if you and Stevie are having a pitchfork fight, you got basically a little bit of armor down there.
Mm-hmm.
I put jeans on, like, even on the weekends, like when we have to do this show, I put jeans on before we start and I take them off immediately afterwards, but I need them to feel like I'm at work. Like, I need them to feel like I'm not relaxing, and I need jeans to keep me awake. I'm like the polar opposite of your jean situation.
Unless
coffee no, jeans. There's no, not there is. No. I'm drawing the fucking line. There's no it. Unless, no it. Sleep jeans.
He said unless. I have to say it.
Say it.
Unless
this guy is a wizard of denim.
No, stop it. That's nothing.
No, hear me out. Hear me out. What if he's found a care regimen for his denim that if he just revealed it to the world would change the jean game forever? And he's like, oh, do you guys not like soak them in lard first and then put them in a microwave for 30 seconds? And it's like, what? And when you do that, it makes them feel like satin.
Then just wear satin. Guess what, pimp jeans wizard? I'm one step ahead of the game and I save lard money. I just buy satin.
You gotta save that lard money.
It's expensive.
2016, you gotta send kids to college.
This makes me so angry. Maybe if you got like, if your pre-bedtime regimen was just like you did like 20 whippets and it was just like you fell into bed and forgot to take your pants off every night. That sucks, but I'm willing to give that person like more.
I would be less irritated by somebody who said, listen, every night before I need to go to sleep, I have to do 20 whippets.
And then I just crash into bed and just like whatever I'm wearing, that's my sleep stuff. You purposefully, you have jeans specifically for this thing. There's criminal intent.
Can I tell you one thing that would be really, really nice, though, is travel. For travel, you wouldn't need to pack, you know, your sleepy time shorts.
Yeah.
For that hotel lounge, when you get a hotel lounge. Now, okay, here's a question. When the workday is done for y'all and it's time to, like, unwind, maybe make a Blue Apron, sit down, watch some television.
Drink some Club W.
yeah, whatever. Whatever one of your eat some Nature Box, do your fucking job applications with ZipRecruiter.
Put three dildos up your butt like you're a toothbrush cup on a sink.
That you bought from Extreme Restraints.
Actually, no, you actually bought them from Squarespace.
Weird. Twist. What would you do? You guys like get out of jeans and get into like something more comfortable? Like you get some sweatpants going or some shorts or something?
Justin, I might as well have a Wallace and Gromit machine that does it for me. Like
that. Okay, so this is my question. Does this person who sleeps in jeans, do you think that they're spending the entirety of their evening in jeans? Or like, does that not spell comfort to them? Like, how do they?
Do you mean like maybe they work in sleep pants?
Yeah, I think
like, can't wait to get these off.
Yeah, exactly.
24/7, 365. It's opposite day. Come, let's get silly. Yeah,
you can't wear sweatpants to the office. You cannot do it.
You fucking low rent Alice in Wonderland character. Like, you gotta get the right pants for the right
time
of day.
I'm the silly pants boy. Stop. You're not. You have a fetish. That's fine. Just don't air it out here.
Or do. Like, this is a venue for airing out
your fetish. But just say, like, I've got a denim fetish.
Right.
Don't tell me that it's a sleep
thing. But don't say it now. You're on the clock at Barnes & Noble. You can't just go around saying that, parading it around in front of all of us. Because we're jealous.
We are jealous.
Because we all wish we had something that made us feel as alive as your jeans make you feel.
You guys want a Yahoo?
Please.
Got a bunch of real good ones. Thank you, everybody. This was sent in by Game Recognized Game Rachel Rosen. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Oops, they're anonymous.
Oops, all berries.
It was asked by Captain Munch.
Captain C.
CC asks, am I too powerful? My mum, me mum, just recently signed me up for Krav Maga lessons. My instructor says I'm accelerating at an unimaginable rate. What I'm trying to say is, what if I become a human weapon and I'm not allowed out in public?
Oh, God. I get that, man. This is that Con Air fear. Like, you accidentally kill a guy in a bar fight and the judge is like, well, we all know that he's a Krav Maga weapon and his hands are deadly weapons and he shouldn't be allowed in public anymore and we gotta lock him away in a prison filled with the worst scum and then fly him across the country, but then the plane crashes in the desert, I think, and Steve Buscemi's there and he has tea with the little girl. I don't want to give away the ending, but you should check out Con Air.
But the plane crashes.
Yeah. And they all die.
It's pretty sick. I think every
unimaginable rate.
Every Krav Maga instructor, which is the deadliest martial art, right? Mm-hmm. Have we officially said, actually, I feel like maybe at some point during the history of the show, we've said what the most deadly martial art
is. It's the one that Don't Mess With the Zohan uses. So that's enough for me. Thank you.
Good. Yes, exactly. Good. Every Krav Maga instructor has to have a contingency plan for this exact scenario where they have like some sort of biotoxin in a syringe in the underneath the cash register that they use to take payments for the lessons. And then like, oh, yeah, you're doing really good. You're just about to earn your green belt. Just come over here. It's time to cash out. Stab him in the neck with the biotoxin.
But then
I'm so sorry,
your student turns against you. You try to stab him with the biotoxin, and like they stop your hand. And like, damn it, I waited too long.
Yeah, he's already ascended.
How was I supposed to know that they only needed 35 seconds to become a Krav Maga master? This is unimaginable.
Unimaginable.
It's unimaginable.
Like, it's unimaginable. Like, in my days as a Krav Maga instructor, I've seen a lot of students come through here, and I've watched them progress. And in my wildest fantasy, sometimes I dream of a student who is progressing at an even faster rate. And I have tested the... And then I saw you, and I have tested the bounds of my imagination to conceive of how you could be progressing at this rate, and I cannot conceive of it.
Here are the keys to my dojo. I have to step down and go in a cave and think about this for a while.
Just as a fun thought experiment, how fast can someone get good at kicking? Exactly.
Enough that somebody has their mind blown by it.
Exactly this fast and no faster, most certainly. Oh, God.
No, no, no.
Oh, God. Zachary. Oh, no, my goodness.
I have to check the scrolls.
Yeah, just kick this. Let's just, this is a first test that we do here at Tim McGraw's Krab McGraw. And the thing we do is we just like, I hold this up and you just kick it and I see how. How could this be? How could this be?
My concept of reality is dissolving around me.
Everyone get out.
I have to go pray to the patron spirit of Tim McGraw's Krav Maga and find out.
You got Tim. Tim, you'll never believe.
Tim, it's me.
Try to imagine how good someone could progress.
Hey, Tim, listen, you can't. It's Tim McGraw. Listen, I told you could use my name, but I was also real clear. I don't know anything about Krav Maga, so I'm going to have to trust your judgment.
Tell me what to do, Tim, please.
Listen, I have informed you repeatedly. I'm not even familiar with Krav Maga as any fighting style.
The kick's so good, Tim. I just give me some guidance. Trust me with your wisdom.
My only fighting technique is smashing a beer bottle and cutting a fool.
I'll try it. Okay, click.
I got to be honest. When you told me you were opening a Krav Maga place, I thought it was a Mediterranean restaurant.
Which I would love.
That's on me, I guess. I love that shit.
You got naan?
Tzatziki? I'm all about it.
Listen, I sent you a picture of myself dipping some pita into hummus to use for the logo, and you did not send that photo back to me.
I thought that was for me to keep, Tim. I'm so sorry.
You used it for like the logo of your dojo logo, which I thought was weird, because who's going to sign up? Like, there's country music superstar Tim McGraw enjoying some Mediterranean bean dips.
Yeah, but on your logo, you have photoshopped out the pita bread and changed it to a shuriken, which seems weird to me, since I don't even think that's a Krav Maga.
Yeah, I did it,
you were still dipping it in hummus. Is that not good enough?
A cursory Google search, and almost certainly they do not use shurikens. In Krav Maga, and they definitely do not dip them in hummus before throwing them, son bitches.
Listen, it seems like you photoshopped the hummus out and put in the brains of my enemy. How do I know? Because you've put a speech bubble above my head that said, "This is the brains of my enemy, not hummus."
Hey, Tim, I gotta go. I've got this person kicking real good in the dojo.
I'm gonna need to see your bona fides, my man. I do not think that you are excellent at Photoshop, and I think bad at Krav Maga. I have to imagine.
Oh man,
how about another question? My cube mate whispers to herself constantly. Sometimes she's reading out loud to herself. Sometimes she's talking to herself. Sometimes I can't even tell what she's saying, but I hear the whispers. Oh my god. This is hella distracting.
Why, there hasn't been a cube mate there in over 40 years.
This is hella distracting because I'm pretty down with ASMR and I can't get any work done while I'm in the kennel zone. Oh, fuck.
This took a turn.
This took a twist. Any ideas on how to address this? That's from, in Houston. I thought we were going with it's annoying because people like that drive me crazy, and it's not an ASMR thing. I can't stand when you're the only person in a room with someone else who starts talking, and of course you're like, what?
Sorry?
Are you sorry? Like, are you talking to me? Okay. And it's like, no, I just reading really funny Ziggy cartoon. Sorry, I'll try to keep it down. Like,
but how many times does that have to happen before the person is like, I need to stop talking to myself? Because like 30 times a day, Deborah's leaning around going, excuse me, what? Did you, what did you say? Like, eventually you would think that the cube mate would be like, Trav, I need to shut it.
Trav, I don't know if you've worked in a lot of offices, but there are always people who like, no, they don't. Like, they don't have any, like, you think that they would get better at this scenario that everyone is in, and they don't. Like, they belligerently don't ever grow as people.
What if you just quietly start whispering back? If they're like, hey, I got to staple this, and you're like, yeah, you do.
Where do you see my wiener?
Your what?
My wiener. Yeah. It's me, the ding dong buddies. I am both of the ding dong buddies. And this is my new song. Wait till my wiener makes its debut. I think that the ASMR thing actually gives you a leg up, because one surefire way to get this person to stop is to explain what is happening to you. I think that would get me to stop right quick.
Yeah.
Excuse me. When you whisper, It gives me a tingling
denim,
in the
a denim boner.
A denim style tingling in the back of my head.
You know denim? You know the feel of denim on sheets? It's like that.
When are we going to do an ASMR episode?
I could feel we definitely should do an ASMR episode.
I feel like the ASMR episode is like there. It's waiting for us to pluck from the...
Already somebody's done a super cut of like our 288 episodes every time we whisper, and it's like four hours long.
Well, I just gave us a good like 20 seconds of material right there with my Ding Dong Buddies run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that classic.
That was somebody's trigger.
Yeah, that's going straight on the greatest hits CD.
Or the quietest. It would be the quietest hits. This is the second question in a row where somebody's mentioned working in a cube. Is that what we're calling cubicles right now? Because right now it just kind of sounds like you're floating around in like some sort of geometry void, and that like a wizard trapped you in.
Right.
And I guess what I find...
Sometimes that's what it feels like. Am I right? Mondays.
Dilbert
from downtown. Maybe you could like sound insulate your cubicle. Maybe put some baffling up. Maybe some fiberglass. Some Navajo rugs. Just something to try to deaden the sound a little bit.
And or then like ask
shove
if you
something
put,
in your ears.
You could put your mattress foam on their cubicle too, just to absorb some of the noise.
Don't mind me. Is 6 foot by 3 foot? Oh, I got a great piece for this. Okay.
This is great.
Can you just play music on your computer that drowns out the noise of the whispers, like just a bunch of trombones going? No, you know what? I just thought about it, and literally any music will do. It doesn't have to be trombones.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be
came
trombones.
To my mind, it was like, hey, Griffin, think of something to say on the podcast right now that would be like loud music. I was like, oh, I know, trombones. Not like any EDM or any rock music with guitars in it.
You could like any music.
Just like any music you turn it up loud enough. It doesn't have to be trombones. My point is, it doesn't just have to be trombones.
A lot of people think it has trombones. To be trombones, but...
Is trombones the opposite of ASMR? Because if we do an ASMR episode, we got to do a trombone episode.
Well, I think it's like the palate cleanser of ASMR. Like you're starting to get tingles. Brap, and you're like, oh, thank God. I was so close. Thank you for ASMR edging me.
I got to say, gross. I also got to say, that movie Trumbo that got nominated for Oscar that I've literally never heard of before, is that about trombones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's like the slang. It's a street slang term for it.
Sling me that Trumbo, said Dizzy Gillespie.
Well, what's funny is it's also a slang term
used for... Your body tries hand in a new instrument.
It's also a slang term for, like, the groupies that follow trombonists around. Like, oh, they're a real Trumbo. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
But it can get confusing when you say, pass me that Trumbo, and you're like, wait, do you mean the instrument or the groupie?
Yeah.
And by that point, you've used more words and letters than you would have by just saying the full word, like trombone, groupie, or trombone.
Just trombone, yeah. I gotta see Trumbo. It sounds hilarious.
It's pretty great. And you should also check out Trumbo Drop.
You mean Operation Trumbo Drop?
Yeah.
Oh, with a setup and an alley-oop. that's another thing you can say during the football game.
Yeah. Give it to me again, Travis, and Griffin will just edit it in to like pretend that you just come up with it and you're just saying it. Just
go for the full title,
Operation Trumbo Drop.
Yeah, but like isolate it.
Okay, let me say it.
Oh, like Operation Trumbo Drop with a steal, with a fucking swooped in. You just got dunked on.
Dunkarooskies. That's another thing.
That's another thing
you can
yell during the football game. Let's go to the money zone.
Look around you.
Look around you.
You've been in the money zone the whole time.
The whole show's the money zone.
The money zone is us.
I want to talk about Nature Box. Can I talk about Nature Box?
Yes, please.
Please do.
I love snacking, and I'm worried that I have a snack obsession because I just snack every day. And when I can't go to sleep without eating snacks in my mouth, which is dangerous. Fortunately, there's a snack provider out there that can change your life, and it's called Nature Box. Nature Box has over 100 tasty options for you to choose from. Snack options, like sriracha roasted cashews and French toast granola. You can fill out your snack profile, get personalized recommendations based on your preferences, and get matched up to go on dates with people who like the same snacks that you like.
Not yet.
I also like granola. Let's kiss. Let's have a granola kiss. What's that? Well, we both put granola in our mouths, and then what happens next is up to us.
There's a new I got a new nature box, and like you can set up your own nature box snacks to get, you know, the specific things that you want. I like to just like go crazy. Like I'll just get whatever you guys want to toss at me. I'm sure I'll get into it. There's a new one called Crispy Coconut Squares.
Ooh.
That I tried this time. Oh my gosh. They're like a crunchy, God, they're impossible to describe, but they're absolutely delicious. And I cannot recommend them enough. There's so many really, really good, snacks that they do. I got one peanut, who was telling me about peanut butter graham jams?
That was me.
Oh man, those are good, Travis. You were right.
Yeah.
About those.
And you can check out all of this and get your first box at naturebox.com. Just head to NatureBox, right?
Stick the landing here because this is the best line in marketing ever.
Head to naturebox.com right now to unbox a world of taste and possibility.
I like to imagine there should be a door. You go to naturebox.com and there's a little like gif of a door. And when you click on it, like there's just like you see the universe and you fly.
Everything is edible.
You fly through
as
the door.
As long as it's in a nature box.
Yeah. And like there's a million butterflies. I want to tell you guys about Bowl and Branch. Can I do that?
Oh, please do.
Actually, Justin, you tell me about Bowl and Branch because you're sleeping on these shits.
Oh, I'm constantly sleeping on these sheets when I'm asleep.
And how do they interact with denim?
They are perfect match for denim, provided you take the denim off before you get into bed. nothing reminds you of how bad denim feels like the soft comfort of Bowl and Branch sheets. Bowl and Branch, that's B-O-L-L and Branch. .com make great sheets. If you've ever slept on like a bed, I use the hotel comparison a lot when talking about Bowl and Branch. Like you sleep on sheets sometimes at a hotel and you're like, where are they buying these?
Because, and not like a shitty hotel. Not like that hotel that was only $43. This is like that, you know what, we're going to splurge $175 a night kind of hotel.
Yeah, like a nice place and you think, where do you guys get these sheets? Because I've bought a lot of sheets trying to find something that matched the quality of these that give me that hotel luxury experience. I haven't found them until I started sleeping on Bowl and Branch. They come in this beautiful decorative box. You feel like a real fancy prince when you're unwrapping them. And then you feel less fancy when you got to put your own sheets on your own bed. I bet princes never have to do that. But then when you get into bed, you feel like a prince again. So you like feel like a prince. You stop.
And then you have a good tar boner and you feel like prince.
Yeah. It's a real prince in the pauper scenario.
But anyway, and here's the best thing. Maybe you're a little bit hesitant because you're like, I don't know, buy them online. I don't get to like, you know, check them out first. Well, good news. They're going to let you try them risk-free for 30 nights. And you're going to love it, though. Trust me. I've been sleeping on them as well. They are amazing, and they seem to just get more and more comfortable over time because they use like super high-quality cotton, and it's really princely.
As a special Mabim Bam bonus, you can buy sheets that have come with our own individual smells pre-baked into them, our own individual unique sleep musks.
Do not mix them together.
Do not mix them together.
You can get right now 20% off your first order if you use the promo code MYBROTHER, all one word. That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Boy, they must have been so embarrassed when they realized they didn't spell it B-O-W-L. B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Promo code my brother. Don't punish them because they don't know how to spell bowl. Go buy their sheets.
All right, we got a Jumbotron message. This is for Andrew. It's from Matt. Let's get right to it. Happy birthday, little bro, and happy future birthdays, because this present is worth a few birthdays. Nice.
I agree.
Hopefully this got in on time. What with your birthday being November 20th and
yeah,
all.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, split the uprights. Slam-a-jam-a-ding-dong.
You are pass the hummus between his birthday and some other day.
Pass right the fucking now. Hummus, Andrew. You crushed it.
Anyway, thanks for introducing me to MBMBAM and making my life that much funnier.
I agree with this being worth a few birthdays. Because here's the thing. You can listen to this episode of this podcast anytime. It's a great thing about podcasts. They're eternal.
The weird thing is it's not consecutive birthdays. This is going to be good for his 24th, his 28th, and his 33rd.
Yeah, but you know what birthday it won't be good for? The intended birthday. Because that was fucking 4 months ago. Oh, well. Po' Buddy's nerfed. This message is for Jesse. And it's from also Jesse. And Jesse says to themselves, hey, man, I am communicating to you across the void through telepathy, kind of. If I did my math correctly, the brothers should be reading this on your birthday. Almost certainly not. Happy 31st from 3 to 4 months ago. I truly hope you are keeping it tight. And if you need me, I'm on my mobile. So good. So good.
Do you think this is from Jesse to Jesse, like themselves? Or do you think that it's just like there happened to be two Jessies in the world?
I think there's definitely more than two Jessies in the world.
Well, I've never seen them in a room together.
Shit. That's right. Wait a minute. Jesse is Jesse. The perfect disguise.
But who's Jesse's girl?
Oh, stop it.
I wanted to mention something. We alluded there to the best personal message we've ever read on the show for Elliot from Matt Hall. I went back and looked at it just now because it'd been a while. And there's something I've never noticed before. The message is, of course, thanks for vibing it and keeping it tight. If you need me, I'm on my mobile. First off, I don't think we said vibing it. I think we just said vibing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yes. The and is all caps. So the message is actually like the main thing that they want to communicate is that they've somehow managed to both vibe it and keep it tight. That's really the impressive thing.
How could they? It's unimaginable that they were able to both vibe it and keep it tight.
And keep it tight.
Yeah, because vibing it, the very act of vibing it usually just loosens that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Loosens
but
it.
But no, you kept
it very, very tight. And that's very impressive.
Very tight.
Let's be honest. We live in a world with too much media. You need a podcast on the front lines figuring out what's great.
We're here for you. We're Pop Rocket.
I am Guy Branum. I'm a comedian.
I'm Winter Mitchell. I call myself a digital strategist.
I'm Oliver Wang, academic and disc junkie.
Margaret Wappler, je suis es journaliste.
And we watch, listen to, and read everything so that you don't have to. And then we tell you about all the things that you'll love to love.
Find us in iTunes or wherever you download podcasts.
Pop Rocket, every Wednesday from Maximum Fun.org.
How
you
about
want to have a Yahoo
question? Yeah, I'd love a Yahoo question, Griffin.
Got a bunch here.
Do the best one.
Well, fuck, that's tough to.
I know.
I got three Drew Davenports. Can I? You want me to just?
You
rapid,
can trade those
let
in
me rapid
for one Megaport.
I'm gonna fire these Drew Davenports at you guys. Just rapid fire, and you tell me which one you want to really explore. Because I honestly can't choose. It's level 9,000 Yacht Drew Davenport, of course. Thank you, Drew. This one is from Devin, who asks, if you put Mountain Dew in a purifier, would you get water or Mountain Dew? I think there's something to talk about there. This one is from Sal, who asks, every time I go to lick a stamp, I really want to gently kiss it instead. Is this okay? And then this one is from Something's Gone Wrong. We'll call him... Bernard asks, big hands? When do I start getting big hands? I'm 18 years old. When do I start getting bigger hands?
I think it's going to be big hands.
Yeah.
Although I am curious, if you put Mountain Dew in a purifier, you just get like that crisp Mountain Dew.
I think it just turns into vodka.
Why is this so crisp?
Is this pure Mountain Dew?
I think that's how Dew Shine is made.
All right, let's close that. Get out of here.
So close that one out. So somebody watched the video forever long, and they're like, wait a minute. The Foo Fighters managed to get big hands. When do I get big hands?
Do I need to do some intricate steamrolling? Because that usually happens in cartoons.
Which made a huge mistake. Big hands aren't as funny as I thought they would be.
Get out of here, big hands. Every time I go to lick a stamp, I really want to gently kiss it instead. Is this okay?
I think it just depends on what the stamp is. Are we talking like American presidents? Are we talking like, hippie symbols through the years? Are we talking like, I don't know.
Name some other
World
stamps.
War II pilots.
I'm never stopping.
Just keep naming things like just
maybe
keep
Woodstock
naming.
Performers.
Okay.
Maybe Woodstock.
Maybe Woodstock. It might be a Snoopy situation, a Peanut situation. It could be famous circus elephants. It could be inventors of the 1820s. It could be the many faces of Elvis. I mean, there's lots of different stamps out there.
The different finger bones that there are.
How many finger bones are there? Look at these stamps to find out.
Yeah.
You'll never believe how many finger bones there are.
Fun,
number 23 blew me away.
Fun stamp facts.
Which is ironic because it's on stamps. There are stamps that have pictures of other stamps on them.
Yeah.
Those are very rare. If you find those, hold on to them for dear life, Charlie Bucket. and run home. Run home, Charlie. Don't show anyone your stamps.
There's Jeff Probst dick pic stamps that I made. They are not legal tender.
Not legal.
Please don't use those.
Hey, wouldn't it be cool if stamps were edible? What if every time you got mail after they did their job as postage, every time you got mail, you like saw, oh man, I got like 5 candy treats just waiting for me, like little dissolvable candy treats waiting for me, stuck to the, because they're just gonna go in the garbage.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, why can't they be edible? Like, if you peel them off,
fuck, that's good, Justin. Yeah.
What you do is you have to make 1/3 of them edible, but you don't have any kind of sign as to which ones are and which ones aren't. And you just have to try it. And then think of how exciting it is when you get one that is.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're like, no.
Okay,
no. One-third edible, I don't think. Let me say this. If 1/3 of stamps are candy edibles, I do not think you're going to sit and eat a pile of stamps if 1/3 are edible. There is, however, a number between all stamps being edible and 1/3 stamps being edible, at which you would try to eat every stamp you got. Right?
You're saying maybe.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the number. You're saying we don't know what that science has not found that number yet.
I'm saying I don't know the if it was 50-50, I think I would probably find better ways of spending my time. If 80% of stamps were candy edibles, I might sit and
I get what Justin's saying. He would stop differentiating because he would assume, this is male candy.
But I think the problem with 80-20 is now the 20 has become a disappointment rather than the 80 being a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Now you're getting punished for getting one of the 20%.
Let's put a pin in this because I've realized just sort of one problem with the candy stamps idea. And it's a great idea. Terrific idea.
Thank you, Griffin. Thank you.
Easy to produce too. Just cut out little pieces
copyright,
of fruit.
TM.
Cut out little pieces of fruit roll-ups and then Bob's your fruit uncle. The only problem with this idea, Justin, is by the time that the letter gets to you, it has been touched by 200 of the dirtiest hands imaginable. 200 of these hands, unimaginable how dirty they are.
Maybe it's sealed in its own like wrapper.
Okay, perfect. I got a good idea then. 50% of stamps are candy edibles, 50% are antibiotics. So you eat the candy ones and you also eat the antibiotic ones.
But you have to do it like a tequila shot. You eat the candy stamp and you immediately chase it by drinking antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like,
but you don't
know, out of someone's navel.
You don't know which are which. So like, it's like, oh, I just ate 5 antibiotic stamps in a row. I'm really grossed out.
But super
really
healthy.
I hope I get some candy. Or all the stamps you get that day are candy. You're like, well, somebody's getting a head cold.
Okay.
I like all of this. This is great.
And for me, it's less. I'm less worried about the contagion of it, and more like, I just knowing. Oh my! So many dirty hands have touched this. I've passed this around. I'm not a fan.
Maybe they just work around just like it becomes a postal thing, like a superstition, if you want, or just like a rule, like don't touch the stamp.
Well, you wouldn't want to because you get those sticky hands. You don't want that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they wouldn't touch it.
Those are self-fulfilling prophecies.
They wouldn't touch the stamp because they don't want their hands
to be sticky.
They don't want
sticky hands. Yeah, shit. This is good. This is all good.
Foolproof. Now, here is the question.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
If the person who is sending the stamp has to lick it,
yeah,
wouldn't it be better if they were kissing it? Because that would be, you kiss anybody, and everybody. I think that would be
just
better.
Just going to charge right through that statement. Just bully it onto our podcast.
I don't understand, Justin. Please.
I'm saying, okay. If through space and time, this candy stamp is bringing you the physical greeting of affection from another person, or maybe somebody who works at the IRS, or somebody who has sent you a catalog,
gotcha.
I think that you would prefer the thought that they kissed the stamp and sent it off to you, and you're eating a kiss.
Okay.
Then they lick the stamp, and it's like they're licking the inside of your mouth.
Okay.
Justin, if I may, it's both are pretty bad.
It's all bad.
It's all very bad.
It's bad all the way down.
The reason, by the way, I want to just take this into a quick sidebar. The reason
Fuck out of this bar. I hate this regular bar we're in right now.
The reason I got distracted is when I said you kiss everyone and everything. Yeah. I remembered a true life story that I wanted to share. I sold my home this week, my former home that I lived in, and I was the only one on the deed for some reason, not me and Sid, so it was just me
weird
at the closing, and I was very excited. Hi, Patrick. Patrick bought our house.
Patrick, dear friend Patrick Stanley.
I hope you guys are enjoying the home. But anyway,
good luck finding where I took all my secret shits.
Signed the paperwork. My realtor was there. Her name was Lori. My realtor was there. We had finished signing the paperwork, and she gave me sort of like a one of those Christian side hugs to like celebrate as we were leaving, because I guess she felt bad for me because I was there by myself during this momentous occasion.
Yeah.
As we were leaving, she gave me a side hug, and I turned towards her to turn it into a full hug, to do the full hug conversion, because I don't like the side hug. Out of nowhere, before I realized what I was doing, as I hugged her, I kissed her cheek.
And then you had to burn the house to the ground because it had seemed too much.
It should have been one of the happiest days of my life. Ooh. I ruined it. I walked back to my car thinking, what the fuck did you just do? Who are you? You just kissed her cheek.
I need to know the trajectory, the angle. Like, did you just like plant it on there like you would do to a grandma, or was it like, and did you do it in like very much like style?
It was a grandma trajectory. And I have to say, even though listen, we all have a lot of fun here. I have to say, I think I sold it. I think I sold it pretty confidently. I think she walked away from that thing.
Walk me through it beat by beat.
I think I gave you a fucking Zaprudery like breakdown of how it happened, Travis.
But I need to know. Okay, this will clarify it for me. Let's imagine we are in the 0.0001 second right after you have kissed her on the cheek.
I don't want to be here.
Describe to me the face that you made right after doing
it. It probably would have been something like this. Like that. Probably something like that.
I think you sold it.
Did she seem like, what the fuck?
No, it was like a really, you know what, Griffin? I felt like I had dominated the situation socially, because I think she walked away from it thinking, man, that must be pretty cool where he comes from. Like from his point of view.
She thought you were so just continental. Metropolitan.
Yeah, exactly, Trav. Exactly. Very metropolitan.
Ooh, big city man kissing cheeks. She knows where you live, Justin. She literally
sold your house.
Literally.
That must be really cool in his new house.
She didn't know where my new house is. Listen, before we get a bunch of emails, I know that some people kiss cheeks. I know that this would not be a momentous occasion for everybody. This is not how I comport myself in the universe. It was very out of character.
We keep our list of people whose cheeks we kiss very, very narrow. It's either our wives or our daddy. And that's it.
That's it?
That's it. It's a sacred bond that we have. We don't kiss each other on the cheeks.
I give my baby little baby kisses on her cheek.
Gross.
And then I whisper to give her those ASMRs that babies love ASMR.
Holy shit, no. Read another question.
I've got an ASMR video of a baby giving her, of a woman giving her baby a massage. It's an infant massage ASMR video. If Charlie loves it because it's got a baby in it. I love it because it's ASMR. It's a video we can all agree on. The whole family can like it. Hey, why don't you go ahead and airplay that from your phone to the Apple TV, Dad, because the whole family is enjoying this ASMR video.
I'm going to go throw you in jail, Justin. I'm calling the cops right now, and they're going to toss you in the pokey.
They're going to try to toss me in the pokey. I'm going to be like, hey, cops, thank you so much for putting
ASMR episode.
They're going to get tingles, and they're not going to be able to arrest me.
What a weird superpower.
How about another question?
Please.
I live with my fiance, and although I have my own laptop, we share his desktop for gaming. He's a bit messy in real life, but that I can deal with. His computer is an issue, though, because he saves his porn to the desktop.
Oh no.
Playing TF2 in Windows
to
mode.
To the desktop? I need instant access to Butt Slammers 21. I need it at the ready. I got it in my holster. My Butt Slammers holster.
You never know when the moment's going to strike you.
Hold on, let me finish the question. Playing TF2 in Windows mode with some asses staring right back is unsettling, I assure you. I've asked him to sort it, and he just laughs. It's not a deal breaker. It's just weird. Do I learn to live with it, or do I sort it myself for his upcoming birthday? That's from There's No Poor Pun I Can Make About Eugene, Oregon.
No, you can't. Is the unporniest town in the world.
Yeah.
I love the idea of, hey, honey, could you sort the porn you've saved on your laptop?
Okay, bye.
Good joke, honey.
Catch you later.
From a chaser bliss, stand on your truth, whatever. From a taxonomy standpoint, sort your shit. I'm with this person. Sort your shit. Put your shit in a folder. Sort it.
And name that folder, please don't look at this. This is my secret.
Or just call it porn. But don't just put it on the desktop.
That's a cluttered desktop.
It's obscuring your background.
I don't save my audio files to my desktop.
Yeah.
Why is your porn there?
And do you think it is large files he has downloaded and does not want to go through the time and trouble of downloading again? Or do you think we're talking about hyperlink files that get him right to the sites he craves?
This is his go-to, like, never fail porn. Like, even if he's having the worst day and maybe he's got like a cold and is running a fever, this is the porn that he knows is going to work all the time, every time. And he doesn't want to lose those links.
Or why is he downloading this stuff? Did he just like get Kazaa and was like, this is it, the pinnacle of technological achievement? It's just Kazaa. What is streaming? You mean streaming?
If you are no longer available to access porn on the internet, everything else in society has collapsed around you. It will be, I guarantee you, the least of your worries.
I can't keep reading. This person put it in all caps, and for good reason, because that's how I am also reading it, which is screaming inside my own head. It's your desktop.
I would have been offended if it was any file. If you saved any file, like he saves his whole music library to his desktop. Bad. He saves individual photos to his desktop. Stop it.
He saves GIFs of monkeys wearing hats.
Nothing belongs on the desktop.
I gotta say, actually, I'm being pretty hypocritical right now. I'd like to screen share my screen with the two of you boys right now. Just to enjoy screaming hellscape.
Big Bosom 7.
No, stop. Uh-huh, that doesn't, that's not that. Out says, there.
You have Butt Slammers 2, 3, and
they didn't make a
zero?
Okay.
Is that like a prequel?
We know you're lying because they didn't even make a Butt Slammers 3. They skipped it.
This one's called Thugs and Jugs, which seems like almost kind of offensive, Griffin.
Wait, did you say Thugs in Jugs?
Thugs in Jugs.
No, it says...
Please let them out.
You're misreading that.
It says Jugs in Jugs. It's about women who put their boobs into jugs?
No, it says Dugs in Jugs.
This one just says Juds in Jugs.
No, that's a Bug's Life. I got on Kazaa and I downloaded a rip of a Bug's Life. Okay?
I wish I had the confidence and the self-assuredness and just the openness that this gentleman clearly has, that they're like, I don't care. Look at it. I don't care who knows. Everybody, come look what I masturbate to.
It's not about that, Travis. It's about taxonomy.
It's just...
What if you did a two-monitor setup and one monitor was just all porn, but the other one you had three icons in the whole thing? It was just Kazaa, Firefox, and I don't know, like chat room, AIM.
It's inconceivable.
It's unimaginable.
It's unimaginable. This computer's done. No tea, no shade, no pink lemonade. Do your thing. It's just unthinkable to me. The storage solution that he has landed on.
It's not a solution. It's anarchy.
This is how jungle animals would save pornography on their desktop.
Do you think they would use Safari?
Travis.
you piece of shit. How could you?
I have one job on this podcast.
No, it's good. I needed that because I was getting lost a little bit.
Hey, I want to say.
You should use Navigator.
I want to say.
You dickfish.
I'm trying to. Sorry, Jeff. I didn't understand the last thing that you said. I feel like we're not communicating very well.
I got nothing.
Netscape Communicator was another. Anyway, it's not as good as Navigator. Anyway, I want to say a big thank you to NatureBox. You can order hundreds of great tasting snacks. Go to naturebox.com for your first box of hand-picked snacks. Send the rest to your doorstop. We got a lot of...
After you go on a safari, you're a real explorer.
You're forcing it at this point.
Okay. I'm gonna double back on that one.
Okay. That's good. That one, do over. Podcast do over. We got a lot of new shows that we're
holy shit.
There.
So many new shows, so many new programs.
I want to give a personal plug to two shows. One is called Still Buffering. It's a show about teenage life from my wife, Sydney, and her teenage sister, Riley. It, much like Sawbones, it is appropriate for kids and parents. There's no bad words. And if you're looking for a show to listen to with your kids, I think it's a great one. I've listened to their second episode. It's about technology. And if you are an adult that wants to have a full-blown panic attack,
oh boy,
please, please hear how Riley reacts to technological solutions that I still think of as fairly current. You'll also enjoy her horror at the description of what a chat room is and was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like not even a thing. But anyway, that's called Still Buffering. It's on iTunes. I also want to give a plug to a new show from Griffin. It's about video games. It's called Cool Games, Inc. that he does with Nick Robinson, who is another staffer at Polygon, the video game website that we make. And it was it is about Griffin and Nick coming up with video game ideas and then pitching them to someone. And it is uproariously funny. I can't recommend it.
We have one episode. You can find it on iTunes. And that's SoundCloud. Cool Games, one word, Inc. And our first episode, we take tweets from people and we polish them into full game pitches. And our first episode is about a single tweet that we got from Ben Esposito from Arcane Kids, who made the amazing Sonic Dreams collection, which probably explains the tone of his tweet, which was "Grandma wants it al dente," which we then turned into a fucking goatee contender 2016.
Let me also say that I really enjoy Rose Buddies, which is a show that Griffin and his wife do about The Bachelor. I've never watched an episode of Bachelor in my life, and I thoroughly enjoy your Bachelor fan.
Thank you. We get a lot of tweets from people saying, "Well, I enjoy this if I don't watch the show," and I love you. I have no idea how to answer that. That's like between you and your God.
I also want to tell everybody, if you haven't checked it out yet, my wife and I just launched a podcast called Schmanners. It's all about etiquette in the modern age and whether or not it's still applicable, and learn about stuff that you might not have known about. We've in our first week, we put up two episodes. So we have episode one, thank you notes, episode two, table manners, and episode three, which is going to be coming up this Friday, is conversational etiquette. So check it out. You can find it on iTunes and on MaximumFun.org, and you can follow us at SchmannersCast if you have any any questions or ideas for future episodes. Tweet at us.
It is the most delightful show, and I'm so glad that Teresa has a vehicle, because as many people have commented, just a delightful voice. Yeah. Just a wonderful, delightful voice.
And just a delightful human
delightful
being who really makes me seem personable and relatable.
She makes you seem like fucking Shrek.
That's fair, but people like Shrek. He's done like eight movies.
That is true.
He has a Broadway show. Do you have that?
No, go listen to the other shows on Max Fun as well. There's a lot of very, very, very good ones. I'm talking about shows like Stop Podcasting Yourself. I'm talking about shows like, Sawbones, we've already mentioned. I'm talking about like Can I Pet Your Dog? I'm talking about One Bad Mother. You can find them all. MaximumFun.org. Go check it out.
You can also, we've mentioned a lot of projects that we're working on. If you want to see all the projects we're associated with, including like stuff like the Monster Factory, Griffin's Amiibo Corner, all of our Facebook groups, all of our Twitter accounts, just go to McElroyShows.com. I also want to say a very personal thank you to Jeremy Baker, who hooked me up with some Disneyland passes. So I was able
to take my friend
Bradbury and my wife Teresa to Disneyland, and we had just the most epic time. So thank you, Jeremy, for that.
Sick.
I also want to say, just because I'm trying to get the word out as often as possible so I can switch them over, I've got the new P.O. Box set up, P.O. Box 909, Van Nuys, California, 91408. The old one is still active, but I probably won't keep it active forever. So if you're worried that you sent some stuff and it might not have got, we're still using that one for now. But if you have anything to send in the future, use the new one. And thanks, John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Please go listen. It's like the best
album.
I re-listen to it once a month, and it's so, so good.
Final Yahoo?
Yes.
Justin, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
This one's sent in by Brooks Oglesby. Thank you, Brooks. It's by Yahoo Answers user Raleigh H. who asks...
Fuck, it's so good.
Feminists, are you impressed that David Blaine held his breath for 17 minutes on Oprah?
What? What's a Justin McElroy?
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad, square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Riley Smurl. And we co-host a podcast called Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
On our show, we tackle all of the hot teen topics that kids have on their minds today.
Hot teen topics?
Well, you know, the questions that are plaguing teenagers through their tumultuous growing years. Questions like,
how do I party?
Or what do I do with all this hair everywhere?
The same questions that people like Sydney had during their years as teenagers. Many, many, many.
Okay, not that many.
So, so long ago.
Yeah, okay, I think they get the idea. So search for Still Buffering on iTunes or MaximumFun.org for new episodes every Tuesday. Still Buffering.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Over and over again. Over and over again.